Okay, good morning to you all. My name is Samuel, and Samuel will be your assistant during today's conference. So we want to welcome you all to Result Conference for third quarter 2018 for Arcos Group. All lines have been placed in silent mode in order to avoid any type of background noise. After the opening comments and presentation, we'll have a Q&A session. If you want to ask a question in that moment, then please press star followed by key one. Now I have the pleasure of giving the word to Natalia Agudelo, who's the director with investor relations for Grupo Argos. Ms. Agudelo. Hey, good morning. This is Natalia Agudelo, director for A with Investor Relations. We want to thank you for your participation in this call. We will be discussing the results for Grupo Argos for third quarter 2018. We have Jorge Mario Velasquez with us, president of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Peredaita, VP of Corporate Finances for Grupo Argos, Camilo Abello, VP for Corporate Matters of Grupo Argos, Maria Clara Rizizabal, Real Estate Business Manager, Mauricio Osa, President of Odinsa, and Pablo Rojada, Vice President of Corporate Finances for Odinsa. This conference is being translated into English simultaneously. We want to remember you all that all our reports, relevant information presentations are found in Spanish and English in our webpage, www.grupoargos.com. In the same webpage, you can find the presentation that we'll be following during this teleconference. To download it, please go into the section of financial information, then into report section. We will find a file called Presentations for T2018. This presentation contains certain information and disclosures related with Grupo Argos and subsidiaries based on the present knowledge, expectations and projections, circumstances and suppositions of future events. Many factors could lead to future results to be different than the ones that have been expressed. If any of the situations happen or if the information is incorrect, the results might vary. Disclosure declarations are done to this date, and Grupo Argos and its subsidiaries do not pretend or to update this information for future events. I want to invite you all to go into slide number 3 of our presentation, and let me give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, president of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia. Thank you for being us. And we'll be having a conference that will be emphasized in the fourth quarter results, more specifically the results of the year, so we could see a wider picture of 2018. And we'll also be speaking of the real estate business due to its dynamics and the importance it has for the group. We have Maria Clara and the rest of the executives that Natalia previously mentioned. I would start by saying that 2018 was a very important year in the consolidation of our strategy. It has been a year that has been marked by two variables, the deepening and coherence. Deepening, given that we've supported each one of the three strategic businesses, cement, energy, and concessions. And concessions and coherence reflected in the good results that we are presenting today, which are mainly the fruit of a long-term management focused on profit maximization of that capital that has been allocated by the investors. This long-term management can be evidenced in growing results, both at a consolidated level as well as a separated level, that show the structural strength of our businesses that for 2018 contributed more than 60% of the additional method of the more than 60% to the participation method, and as well as the role that we've had as a holding improving our net profit that's reaching 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos. This is 32% more than last year in terms of consolidated values. At a general level, I would like to highlight that in 2018, we deepened our participation in the three businesses with investments close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos, both in cement, energy, and concessions. In the first, we capitalized the volatility of the Colombian market, and we increased our participation in ordinary stocks. up to reaching 58% of the ownership of that business, with an investment that was close to 300 billion Colombian pesos. In energy, we participated in the stock emission done by Celsia at the beginning of the year with an investment of 780 billion Colombian pesos. And in concessions, we ended the unlisting process for Audiencia, a company where we today own 99.84%. In terms of our holding role, this year, 2018, we focused on maximizing the use of capital by using the leveraging capacity that the group has and the generations of expense efficiencies. In terms of leveraging, we were able to close the year with a reduction of stock debt going from 16.4 trillion to 16.2 trillion. At this point, I wanted to highlight the dynamism of our business group in the Colombian stock market, carrying out consolidated emissions both for fixed as well as variable rent for more than 2 trillion Colombian pesos, what obviously led to an impulse in the trust and relevance of this market. In terms of expense efficiencies, we closed 2018 with a 5% reduction in consolidated administrative expenses, keeping the dropping trend of this last 3 years in all businesses. Disciplined work around the efficiency and the optimization of the leverage and directed from Argos Group has led to a consolidated EBITDA of 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos that grows 14% in the quarter and that added 4 trillion Colombian pesos, with which we closed the year EBITDA. That's actually the highest one for the business group, with a margin of 28.7%, that's growing 91 basic points. This management in terms of operational and financial management led to increases in all different areas. And this shows the structural advancement of all our businesses. Here, I would like to mention the main advancement achieved by each one of the businesses through 2018. In energy, all the work done in this society reorganization was clearly seen in the growth of the net profit of the controller that increases 53% for this year. At the same time, we achieved important operational advancements, such as the purchase of 57% of the participation of Begonia Power that adds 330 wind megawatts to the 250 megawatts that are being constructed in solar energy, and moving the Celsia assets to EPSA, with which we want to integrate the generation operation in one just platform that's prepared today to the growth of the group in the sector. In concessions, we had a year where we stabilized the portfolio. We were able to increase the EBITDA 3% year after year, highlighting the important growth of OPAE's EBITDA that closed in 371 billion Colombian pesos with a 32% increase compared with 2017. Besides that, Audiencia clearly advanced in that task of constructing a future portfolio, in which I want to highlight the advancement of 3 transformational projects for the country's infrastructure. In the airport, Bogota, the Bogota airport infrastructure expansion, the construction of the new Cartagena airport, and the Sabana peripheral road, which are right now being evaluated, feasibility studies, and if they're approved, they'll require investments close to 4 trillion Colombian dollars, American dollars, sorry, in the next 5 years. Argos Cement closed with a net profit and clearly higher than 2017 that reached 180 billion Colombian pesos at the end of December 2018. This result reflects a normalized operation in where the better behavior of the Colombian market was able to compensate negative climate effects found in the United States. For the fourth quarter, the Colombian volumes grew 8% in terms of cement and 2% in terms of concrete. This is a trend that keeps on strengthening the first days of 2019. Added to this, I would like to highlight the excellent results of the real estate business that materialized the new strategic orientation based on this great scale of this investment. This allowed them to close the year with lat-lat transactions close to 140 billion Colombian pesos. This is 2.2 times more than the average of sales that we had between 2005 and 2017. These are figures that we've never seen before. Because of this, and given that in previous occasions, we haven't drilled down as much in the details of these businesses, I'd like to start this conference by recapping our strategy as Arcos Group and our main results and expectations that we have in the short and long term for the sector. Because of this, I want to invite Maria Clara Aristizabal for her to share with us several aspects.
Thank you, Jorge Mario. It's a pleasure for me sharing the results of Arcos Group real estate business for the end of 2018. Before detailing the results, I would like to give you a brief context of our assets. Today, Arcos Group has more than 5,000 hectares, which around 2,000 represent more than 80% of the commercial value and are located mainly in the Caribbean coast, Peru, and Barranquilla. These assets are part of the legacy we received from the cement business. Since 2018, up to date, we've seen in them an opportunity for bringing value towards our core businesses, and at the same time, they're a tool for legitimizing our actings in territories, promoting deeply responsible projects with the communities and environment. From several points, 2018 was a record year for the urban development business in terms of closed transactions, important milestones in Peru, and the creation of references and key precedents that will help us in future negotiations. Starting by our Peru projects, at the end of 2018, we materialized two important milestones, selling 12 useful hectares for a hotel project and signing the contract for constructing the Casablanca project hotel. These two milestones are our main point of sphere for our macro-touristic project that we've been planning for 2 years. Besides the revenue that we have for lat-lat sales that we find in the financial reports, this new hotel, Casablanca, leads us to a new participation of about 40 million Colombian pesos. This will be the first luxury hotel of a Peru network in Peru, and it will work leveraged in the dynamic and prestige that Santa Clara Cartagena Hotel has, one of the best-positioned hotels in the country and in the region. The development of this project also has the participation of one of the most important real estate funds in Colombia, showing the credibility and trust that this initiative has started generating in the main players of the industry. In relation with the sale of the 12-hectare land lot, this was done for a new Decameron hotel that has taken the decision to double the lodging capacity they have in the island. Even though that 2018 was a more conservative year for the housing sector in Barranquilla, that can actually be seen expressed by the indexes of new housing first three quarters, we still look for segments in the market with flexibility, and the size of our portfolio in Barranquilla will allow us to take this opportunity. The most important milestone in Barranquilla for this year was selling 14 gross hectares in Miramar 5. It's a neighbor lot for Almamed Rio that has an estimated land of 192 square meters that can be sold. These sales will give us a profit of more than 20% without including the additional upside if the buyer wants to increase its development. In 2018, total revenues were increasing 8.6%, reaching 290 billion Colombian pesos, and were impulsed by the land lot sales that grew 67% year after year in order to reach 141 billion Colombian pesos. These revenues are mainly expressed by the Miramar 5 business and the new Decameron Barú hotel. In terms of appraisals, 2018 was a year without extraordinary changes in terms of norms, different from what we saw in 2017 with Pavas in Barranquilla. In the future, we hope for this appraisal to be less year after year, because since 2018, we've been applying rigorously the adjustment policy. Year after year, the cash flow reduced 7.7%, reaching 168 billion Colombian pesos due to the closing dates and the way of payments of the of these businesses. To complement the commercial effort, there was also a cross-cutting management in order to continue with the optimization of the business expenses, reaching a reduction of 6.8% compared with 2017, aligned with the policies of the business group. In terms of real estate profit, Bankia closed with a portfolio of 72 assets with 3.5 billion Colombian pesos and present in 14 departments of Colombia and several cities in Panama and the United States. 2018 was a year focused on the stabilization and maturation of the more of than 720,000 square meters that we have with GLA and investing in three commercial centers, Viva, where there was a small participation aligned with the value generation that we have. This investments of the year led to a profit of 20 billion Colombian pesos, showing that the demand for stabilized assets with institutional quality is still strong. As a result of this fund stabilization, year after year, the gross income was increased by 24%, reaching 276 billion, and the operational revenue was reached an increase of 25%, reaching 191 billion Colombian pesos. Okay, thank you, Maracada. Now let's go into the consolidated results of the group. Once we've gone over these results, I'd like to invite, I'd like to go to slides 6 and 7 so you could see financial results in a consolidated manner. For the fourth quarter of this result of this year, consolidated results presented an increase in at all levels, which confirms the positive dynamic of our business. Starting by the revenues, this presented an increase of 5% year after year, reaching 3.7 trillion Colombian pesos, pulled by more contributions coming from the urban development business, energy, and cements. In urban development business, as it was mentioned before, we had a very good close of year with selling 12 hectares in Barú, 14 hectares in Barranquilla, which allowed us to reach accumulated incomes of 290 billion Colombian pesos and materialize the disinvestment strategy that we had for great land lots. In terms of the energy business, this was favored by the better dynamic in Colombia. This was a regional that increased its contribution in 18% year after year, thanks to better prices in the spot market, a commercial strategy that was more aggressive in front of the non-regulated market, and a better thermal generation. At the same time, I would like to highlight that from the holding, we've led an efficiency plan in terms of costs and expenses that has translated in an in structure express optimization that allowed us reaching savings of 110 billion Colombian pesos during the year. At the same time, there's been efficiencies at the financial and taxation expense levels, which are reflected in a better consolidated profitability. More specifically, I would like to mention that we had a reduction of the consolidated cost of the debt that allowed us to reach savings of 5 billion Colombian pesos during the year. Disciplined work around the efficiency that we've carried out in all the businesses of the group and in the holding as such has led to a consolidated EBITDA of 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos for the quarter, which is the same as 14% growth for this period. This good behavior of our EBITDA allowed us to close 2018 with a figure of 4 trillion Colombian pesos. Once again, this is the highest one of this business group. The sum of all these efforts led to a net profit for the quarter close to 330 billion Colombian pesos, multiplying by 3 the recorded profit in the fourth quarter 2018, and that accumulated to 2018 shows a variation of 32% to reach the 1.2 billion Colombian pesos. From its side, the net profit of the controller presented a growing behavior that placed it in 177 billion Colombian pesos for the quarter and 671 billion Colombian pesos in the year. These results are a clear sample of the capacity that the group has in terms of value generation for its shareholders. In terms of separated results, I want to invite you to go to slide number 8. December 2018 Separated revenues for Grupo Argos were 184 billion Colombian pesos that are broken down in 76 billion Colombian pesos for the participation method, multiplying by seven, figure of 28/17, and 105 billion Colombian pesos coming from the real estate business, which presented a relevant variation to the good management done through the year. Like this, I'd like to stop in the significant increase that for second quarter has been presented by the participation method and shows the structural strength that our business has. Starting by cements, the contribution of 25 billion Colombian pesos to the participation method was supported by good operational results with a better cost structure, a better financial flexibility, and a rigorous execution of the non-core asset disinvestment plans that led to an EBITDA that grew 14% in this quarter. In terms of the net profit, this went from 79 billion Colombian pesos of loss in December 2017 to 52 billion Colombian pesos of profit in 2018. This increase was achieved because of the better behavior of the company's results, as well as the non-recurrent impact of the 34 million Colombian pesos or the taxation reform in the United States that negatively affected the results of the fourth quarter 2017. Likewise, the energy business presented a positive variation in terms of the participation method, representing 27% growth, with results that make tangible that simplification strategy benefits that we have added to the good management from the unleveraging and a good and responsible taxation efficiency strategy, which led to a significant increase of 64% for this quarter in terms of net profit. In terms of the real estate business, the revenue were 191 billion Colombian pesos, which impulsed positively the contributions to the separate revenue of the group, which represented 14% of the annual contribution. This number confirms that our disinvestment strategies are leading to the long-term maximization value maximization, sorry, which is leading to a positive and contundent result. In terms of administration and sale expenses, this show a reduction of 2% for the quarter, which represented 10% of reduction in terms of manageable expenses of Grupo Argos for this period. The same time, I would like to highlight the annual reduction of a 14% in this specific point, which represents savings of 24 billion Colombian pesos for 2018. The separated EBITDA was located in 173 billion Colombian pesos and 980 billion Colombian pesos for the year, closing with an annual growth of 55%. In terms of the profit, the net profit during the quarter, we obtained 101 billion Colombian pesos that added to the year's net profit close to 812 billion Colombian pesos, growing at 79%. These results confirm the power that Norte Huichols has and leads to profit both at a group level as well as in all the businesses. As we've been able to evidence, during 2018, we had higher and better returns, thanks to decided work to optimize the capital structure and the positive advancements in terms of efficiency and profitability of the operations. Before analyzing financial results by business, I'd like to invite you to check slide number nine and see the evolution of our leveraging indicators that also presented a very positive behavior, which is fruit of continuous work focused on improving the capital structure, both for the holding as well as the businesses of the group. In December 2018, the debt closed in 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos. This is 2% over the value that we had in the same quarter 2018, but it's lower than 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos that we had from our previous quarter. Because of this increase in the annual debt stock, the leverage indicators of Grupo Argos are among the lowest that we have in our recent history, with a gross debt over EBITDA of 1.7%, and financial costs that keep on dropping as a proof of the trust that the market has in us and the rigorosity in our treasury operations. I also want to highlight the good management done in terms of financing by all our branches, and where we could see a generalized reduction, both for leverage indicators as well as its debt stock. Finally, I would like to emphasize how the use of our cash resources has been a lever for strengthening our portfolio. In 2018, this proper management has allowed us to make investments close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos in our three main businesses and strengthen our position in them as an act of coherence and trust focused on our strategic north. After analyzing the results of Argos Group and the main management of the real estate business, I want to invite you to resolve the advancements in the concessions, cement, and energy businesses. Let's begin with Odensa on slide 12. During the year, we were able to consolidate a balanced asset portfolio, in which management we achieved important achievements such as worksite advancement in Pacífico 2, reaching a 59%. This means 8% ahead of our schedule, with investments in that year that are close to 540 billion Colombian pesos, or the successful startup operations in the expansion of El Dorado Airport, which adds more than 50,000 new square meters, and a favorable result of Odensa coming from the arbitration tribunal that was studying the continuity of the concession contract for Autopista del Café. Likewise, in this business, I'd like to make a brief mention of the advancements that we've reached in terms of the consolidation of a development project portfolio that contemplates, first of all, a very ambitious expansion project of El Dorado Airport in order to satisfy the growing demand of passengers in the next three decades. Two, an initiative to construct a new airport in the city of Cartagena that has the vocation of becoming a main aerial operation axis for the Caribbean. Last, the construction of the road grid towards the western part of Bogotá that will be solving some of the bottlenecks that we have in terms of traffic in Bogotá. Moving on to operational results, as you might see in slide number 13, during the fourth quarter of 2018, we saw a very positive dynamic, especially in airport traffic, with a growth of passengers both in Opaín and Quibdó of 6% and 7% respectively. This growth in both airports shows the potential that this infrastructure has in order to grow even higher than the GDP of both countries, that for Colombia will be close to 3%, and for Quito will be close to 1.6%. The total number of attended passengers in the airports operated by Odensa reached 9.8 million passengers for this quarter, presenting a consolidated growth of 11% year-after-year, while the road traffic presented a stable behavior with a daily average of 78,000 vehicles that was affected by temporal closures of the IVA bridge connecting Pacífico 2 and Pacífico 3 concessions. Now, to learn about financial results, I want to invite you to move on to slide number 14. The revenues for the fourth quarter 2018 reached 201 billion Colombian pesos, stable compared with period of 2017. The majority of the contributions from Pacífico 2 that grows at a rate of 39%, and the airport concessions leveled lower revenues that we had from the Green Corridor construction that has already ended in Maya Vial-Las Metas. that are currently in this arbitration process. The EBITDA closed for the quarter in COP 119 billion. That represents a reduction compared with the same period last year. If we highlight the non-recurrent effect of 2017 due to the revision of the Autopista del Café and Autopista del Norte provisions for COP 58 billion, besides the reimbursement of COP 8 billion in Boulevard Turístico del Atlántico, the quarter's EBITDA would have presented positive variation of 14%. Given that the results of Odensa do not consolidate Opain, I want to invite you to check the main operational advancements and the behaviors of this company found on slide 15. As we've emphasized several occasions, Eldorado Airport today is a vanguard airport, thanks to its constant strengthening of its processes and services, besides its varied portfolio for offering different solutions for the users, especially in its broadening and improvement of its infrastructure, still positions itself as first airport of South America in cargo movement, the third one in passenger movement, and a green seal airport in the region. Opain in 2018 closed with operational figures in positive levels, which reflect the growing trend of passengers, which reached 8.5 million, 12% increase compared with last year. An annual level added 32.7 million passengers, with a 6% increase compared with 2017. The operational, regulated, and non-regulated operational revenues reached COP 296 billion, for a growth of 5%. This was product of a traffic increase that has already been mentioned, and a growth of an 8% of non-regulated revenue, thanks to the start of operation of the new commercial spaces. EBITDA reached COP 131 billion, increasing at a rate of 78% year after year, as a product of the best of a good operational management and an efficiency plan in the airport, as well as a non-recurrent effect of the future payment of futures of ANI that was close to COP 60 billion. Net profit went from COP 5 billion in the fourth quarter 2017 to COP 58 billion for the same period 2018. These results show our positive management that we've been carrying out in this specific asset. Now that we've seen the concession business, I invite you all to move on to the cement business that's found in the upcoming slide. Just let me make a brief parenthesis here. You see in the presentation, the city of Atlanta, where there was a Super Bowl last year. All this was built with our cement. Before moving into the quarter results, I'd like to stop before and highlight the advancements in terms of efficiencies, EBITDA generation, and customer closeness that we've had with cement. What we've called the BEST program is already showing results in the numbers of the company. A reduction of 8.4% in expense and costs, and the reduction of 7 days in the working capital are examples of the success that this program has had, that we've been applying since 2017, more intensely in the United States, Central America, and the Caribbean. Like this, as part of the disinvestment plan that we've had for non-strategic assets, I want to highlight the collection of $142 million. During the fourth quarter, there were disinvestments that were close to $47 million, from which we might include the sale of two premix concrete plants in the United States for $34 million, the disinvestments of some real estate assets in Colombia for $3.8 million, and the transfer of the auto generation plants of Ecairo for $9.5 million. These operations allowed improving the financial flexibility of Cementos Arcos, that closed the year with a leverage indicator of 3.7 times debt over EBITDA, compared with 4.6 at the end of 2017. In operational terms, despite that the United States economy was impacted by extreme climate situations lived in the last quarter of 2018, Cementos Argos was able to dispatch 4 million tons and 2.4 million cubic meters of concrete, impulsed by a growth of 8% in cement and 2% in concrete in the Colombian region. This is a geography where there has been a continued increase of demand for five consecutive months. Besides our profit, we know that our competitive advantage in the business segment is found in understanding our customers in order for our portfolio to be much closer to their needs. In this train of thoughts, for this year, I would like to highlight the effort carried out in terms of innovation and digital transformation, with examples such as the consolidation of Argos One platform. This is a virtual platform that receives close to 59% of the cement orders and 27% of the concrete orders in Colombia. Besides, supported by the innovation project portfolio, that's a source that expresses around 30% of the income that the company has. As a result of all this, we closed with 2.1 billion Colombian pesos, stable compared with the other three quarters of 2017. The EBITDA was 413 billion Colombian pesos, 14% higher than last year, and this includes the disinvestments that have been previously mentioned. As well, the year accrual is 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos, growing 8% compared to 2017 figure. That's very satisfactory compared with the dynamic that we have been facing in the last years. To end with the results of the cement business, the net profit for the quarter was of 52 billion Colombian pesos, compared with the loss of 80 billion Colombian pesos that was recorded for the fourth quarter 2017. This shows that our business is been following a recovery trend. I would also like to highlight that the good financial results expressed by the cement business are a consequence of a rigorous implementation of a strategy that has allowed the business to follow a growing profit trend, reducing the working capital cycle, very disciplined in the capital allocation, with the innovation and the focus that we have with our customer, and the care that we have in the expenses and costs in our organization. Now let's move on to the energy business that might be found in slides 21 and 23. Before going over the financial results, I would like to recap the steps that we've taken in this last year in the energy business in order to adopt its structure to the needs and trends of the market, and prepare ourselves for this growth and increase efficiency at the same time, while simplifying the vision over the Grupo Argos participation in this business. We began with a society reorganization supported by the Colombian stock market, emitting stocks of Celsia for close to 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos, where Grupo Argos subscribed to around 800 billion Colombian pesos. At the same time, we went to an open market operation that was launched in the first quarter of this year, where we sold close to 10% of our participation in EPSA, which is a Celsia branch, with which we've advanced in having an energy portfolio that's much more clear with time, with Celsia as unique vehicle of investment of our group in that sector. Because in the past, we had participation both in Celsia as well as in EPSA. And this process, what allows is concentrating our exposition into the energy business through Celsia. Last quarter, we ended this important reorganization with an additional step, strengthening EPSA as the vehicle selected to consolidate the operation buying with the purchase sale of some assets. This was an operation that happened between Celsia and EPSA that led to more efficient operations, but as well as in taxation management. At the same time, we continue with the decision of becoming the main agent in terms of renewable energy, non-conventional renewable energy in Colombia. Today, we count with a project portfolio that's being constructed close to 600 megawatts, where we include the solar farm strategies that will represent 250 megawatts of clean energies for the country and 330 wind megawatts from Begonia Power. This is a company where we've increased up to 57.7% our shareholder participation. In the segment of transmission and distribution, we've positively advanced in Plan Cinco Caribe projects with investments in 7 projects in the Atlantic coast, which add a value of close to half trillion Colombian pesos. Without no doubt, 2018 was a year of great achievements for this business, and we are sure will be a very solid base for us to keep on growing profitably as our results prove. Now let me invite you to move on to slide number 22, and I'd like to highlight the growth of market sales to the non-regulated market that for this quarter was a 12%, that was over the national average. In terms of energy generation, there was a satisfactory behavior, but in any case, we were not able to increase the values of 2017, which had atypical figures due to our Salvajina hydroelectric power plant. Moving on to the financial results of slide 23, we could see a growth of a 10% in the consolidated income or revenues for the quarter, which reached 906 billion Colombian pesos, from which Colombia contributed 762 billion Colombian pesos. The largest revenues that came from this region were supported in a larger thermal generation, higher sales to the non-regulated market, and higher contributions in the distribution and transmission business, or the operation, the new operation of the 5-7 projects of Plan 5 Caribe. In terms of EBITDA for this quarter, it reached 317 billion Colombian pesos. This is the highest quarter that we've had in the last 4 years. Net debt for the end of the fourth quarter has reached 3.1 trillion Colombian pesos, with an indicator of the net debt over EBITDA of 2.7 times. It's important also to highlight in the last 12 years, we've canceled debt for 760 billion Colombian pesos, which together with the renegotiation exercises with the financial market has led to an optimization of the capital structure of Celsia, aligned with the policy that we've been following in all our branches. As a consequence, the controlling net profit closed fourth quarter in 64 billion Colombian pesos, and in the year in 228 billion Colombian pesos, growing up to a 50% as a very historic result for the company. Results that we've seen are product of a cross-cutting vision and long-term vision that's focused in the value generation in judgment and in discipline and coherence in the execution in order to transform different types of capital through our business activities, trying to create value, both financial as operational, intellectual, human, social, and natural value that will benefit us all. Because of this, as a return of our transparency practices with the market and with our people, we wanted to invite you all to learn about our strategy and main advancements in terms of sustainability, which is a broad concept that we firmly believe in, that actually frames our search in generating more and better value. In Arcos Group, we always want to deliver our people more than we in our surroundings more than what we take from it. We're clear that we have a huge responsibility as transformation agents. This awareness in terms of our role in society makes our sustainability policy be linked to our daily acts in our operations, and in the and this is actually closely binded to each one of the steps that we take on a daily basis, and it's the heart of our strategy. Conceptually, this policy defines our acting three axes: aware investment, the implementation of vanguard practices, and responsible operations of all our businesses. From this conference on, we'll have a quarterly space to express the actions that we've taken in these three axes, for this to be visible for you all and for the market in the efforts that this holding is making. This effort has a recognition that comes from Roberto Sam, which places us as the most sustainable company in the world in the sector, giving us a gold medal in its sustainability yearbook. This reflects our commitment for transcending this profitable growth, because we take business decisions that contribute to the solution of global challenges in terms of economic, environmental, and social matters. This allows us to anticipate ourselves to the risks and opportunities that might come in the future, with which we want to guarantee the success growth of our company in the future. With this, I'd like to finish my intervention, and I want to give the word to the operator so we can proceed now with the Q&A session. Right now, I'd like to remind you all to, if you want to ask a question, please press star followed by number one. Star one to ask any questions. And the first question comes from Juliana Aguilar from Bancolombia. Good morning to you all. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. The first is related with the La Meta Road grid. If you could ask a little bit of how the administrative tribunal, what's happening there, and for when can we expect any responses. And the second question is in terms of leveraging the holding. We saw a very positive return in 2018, mainly impulsed by the sale of EPSA that impulsed the EBITDA. How do you see the evolution of this leveraging for 2019? And if you have any goals for that or any levels that we want to reach? Thank you, Juliana, and very two good questions. Just let me make a general comment, and I could give the word to Mauricio Osa, who leads this part of the business, who's actually with us. But there's a comment here. The Meta Road Grid is it's in an arbitration process right now. We are expecting a positive and fast response. Because the way that we've been doing this case has been pretty rigorous and precise. So exogenous, speaking about exogenous variables between them, the oil operation, the drop of the oil operations in Llanos Orientales, and also the application of rates that can make this project possible, not just for the concessionaire, but also for the other parties. This has led to an agreement where we want to find a solution through a tribunal in order to finish this contract or terminate this contract and redimension the improvements that could be executed. This has been an act that reflects, or the way that we've acted here shows the way that we think in the long term. It's not building because of just for the sake of it. If they're not sustainable or they're not executable in the long term, we won't go for them. In that terms of social responsibility, we've agreed on this process where we are right now in an administrative tribunal in order to define what would be the best future of this concession. This is actually a private initiative. In terms of the holding leverage, as you mentioned also, this is not a general comment. The company has been seeking for its prime to increase its primary cash flow through business transfer dynamic and through the real estate business towards the holding, which affects positively the expenses of the holding and allowing us to do this capital allocation, but always seeking for a constant reduction of our debt in order for us to have flexibility in terms of the operations that the company requires. That's why I emphasize on this, and I'll be giving the word to Alejandro also, that the cash excesses of this organization are clearly low, because strategically, we're looking for three things: efficiently allocating capital, maximizing the cash flow products, and having the flexibility of investing in them, but simultaneously using capitals to reduce debt. This is a strategic role that we've defined in this holding. But let me give the word to Mauricio so he could speak a bit more about this initially. Speaking about the road grid, and then Alejandro can speak about leveraging. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Good morning to you all. And speaking about the Meta's road grid, I believe that Dr. Jorge Mario made a very good introduction. I would say the following about this project. It's a strategic project due to its location, connecting the flat plains in Llanos Orientales, offering a competitive access to the industry of the zone, and as Jorge Mario mentioned, has suffered greatly due to the drop of traffic and the non-application of tariffs, led or explained by the reduction of the oil exports due to the international market volatility. This is a private initiative started by Odensa in 2014. We've been working on this for the last 2 years, that we've agreed on taking to a tribunal in order to find the proper legal settings that will give us the clearest results. This tribunal actually has two goals: finishing the contract in an anticipated manner, given that the external factors have changed all this, and for this to be a contract that could be adjusted to the new economic reality, trying to re-equilibrate this in economic terms. All the instances have been taken, as I've been expressing in several calls. We're expecting for a result Thursday this week, 28th of February. We still don't know if there could be, if the debt could be sent even further into the future, but it probably won't happen. I'm expecting that on Thursday we could have a definite result, leading to one of both results, so finishing the contract beforehand or renegotiating the terms. If the first case, this would imply reducing, returning the money that has been invested in terms of structuring in those 3-4 years that the project has lasted, and that money would be collected from the sub-accounts that has been collecting the money for this contract. We shall also say that we have the enough money if this would be the case. And this means that Odinsa would be paid around 100 billion Colombian pesos. The second alternative, that's renegotiating the terms supported in what we have in reports. We're not fully sure, but this could be the second scenario. In this case, the contract could be reduced to half, to about 51% of what we had originally in your contract, and this would be a contract of about 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos. It's a contract that, when we reduce it to this level, would come back to a profitability state. And we would have to manage it, as Jorge Mario mentioned in his introduction, in order for this to be financiable and for it to be an executable contract. I want to highlight also something that Jorge Mario already mentioned, the importance, according to our risk policies, corporate risk policies and transparency policies, to act within the frameworks of law. Well, thank you, Mauricio. Now I'm going to give the word to Alejandro Piedraita so he could speak about level of debt and cash flow. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Thank you, Juliana. Good morning. Well, the figures that support leveraging for 2019, effectively in 2018, we closed with 1.7 times. This is supported on debt. That's 1.65 trillion Colombian pesos in adjusted EBITDA. That's close to 140 billion Colombian pesos. For 2019, what we project in our adjusted EBITDA is a conservative view, based only in what we've already have expressed, also in a conservative policy in terms of land lot sales, based on the businesses that we have already established. Based on this, the adjusted EBITDA would be close to 510 billion Colombian pesos, but this is basically based on what we've already done. Here, we are not including additional businesses, and based on that, our cash estimation is that we'll be closing with a debt that has a reduction close to 80 billion Colombian pesos. In the measure that this adjusted EBITDA is affected compared with 2018 due to extraordinary revenues in the EPSA shares, this obviously leads our adjusted EBITDA debt indicator could be close to 3 times. That's still within the conservative ranges that we have been discussing, both with banks as well as with the different rating companies. And in terms of the net profit dividends, will be close to 3.1. And there's another one that we always check. It's paid dividends compared with the operational cash flow of last year. We are close to 0.6 times, which shows that we still have financial flexibility. Okay, thank you for your answers. Second question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez, Corredores de Vivienda.
Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have also two questions. The first one is if you could give me an update of the Odense's leverage and indicators, trying to understand what percentage of Odense's debt is structured as project finance, and if you could speak a bit more about investments or CapEx that you might be expecting for 2019. And the second is that it was not fully clear why the real estate business EBITDA is higher than its revenues. Okay, thank you, Rodrigo. I'll give the word first to Alejandro so he could speak about this and then the CapEx investments. And as you say, there's the part that's structured as a product finance, sorry, that's structured without resources. And there's another debt that's at a sub-holding level, plus some restructuring processes that we're working. Let me give the word to Alejandro and afterwards to Maria Clara so they could elaborate a bit more about the EBITDA and how the EBITDA is built, as well as the cash flow, that these are two very particular configurations in the real estate business because they're not necessarily calculated in the same moment of time. But let us hear Alejandro first. He could give us a bit more detail of the Odense case, and then we can have Maria Clara. Well, this is a relevant question. I make a differentiation between consolidated EBITDA and separated EBITDA. Well, obviously, in terms of your consolidated EBITDA, we have all the factors that consolidate, and many of these have to do with different with financing. Just for you to have figures, 2018 figure was 2.61 trillion Colombian pesos, an increase with last year of 2.32 billion trillion Colombian pesos. But here we also have equities involved in all this that's required for the financing of the project. So the net EBITDA, the net debt EBITDA goes from 3 to 3.2 times net debt over EBITDA. When you go over the results, the separate results for Odense, the leverage is much higher, but this also is explained by situations that might be explained by the current situation. This was part of the strategy that we had since 2016, financing the Quito airport with leverage. This obviously led to differences in separated levels, but as it's been spoken right now in international markets, there's 144 REGs bond from Quito, which will lead to the possibility of sharing or giving a part of the cash to its shareholders, and this will also be reduced to reduce the level of leveraging that we had for the airport in a certain moment, which will lead to the separated indicators close to 3.5 times. That's what we have initially thought of. So this is the situation we face in terms of leveraging, and this is the differences that we have in terms of the separate value. I'll give the word to Maria Clara so she could speak a bit more about the EBITDA and cash in the real estate business. About your question, why the revenue is higher than the EBITDA, it's an accounting explanation. When we sell non-urbanized land lots, this comes from fixed assets, so they're counted as other incomes. But when we sell them organized, this is part of the regular inventory activity, so that's what we get to see in the first line. So that's why you see it in the EBITDA, but you don't see it on the revenue. Well, thank you. That's very clear. Next question is from Johanna Castro from Itaú. Good morning. I have a question that has to do with the impacts of the taxation reform.
Because I believe that from 10 that EPSA might send, a group of oligos might receive 5 in the best of the cases. So the question is, what's the strategy with the option of them becoming a holding in Colombia if this new scheme works, the new scheme that the ministry is offering? Do you have a view of what would be better for you? Yeah, let me make a general comment because I believe this question is very important. Well, first of all, there's several important effects in terms of dividends for this company. Clearly, Argos Group as well as Celsia act as a holding. So obviously, the holding has certain exclusions in terms of dividends in order to avoid that effect that you're mentioning. But let me give the word to Alejandro so he could share a bit more of the figures. And from another side, is the reform, what it does for a company such as Grupo Argos, is very important, beneficial, not just from in terms of fiscal efficiency and cash flow. This is very important for final shareholders, explained by several reasons. The possibility of deducting the VAT in fixed assets, this is very important. The ICA partially can also be reduced, the presumptive sale reduction. This also has a very important impact in all these holdings, and such as the case of Grupo Argos. Basically, by presumptive revenues, using other mechanisms such as first the dividends for illegal companies and the consolidation of holding companies protects us in terms of cash flow. But let me go into more specific details and let me give the word to Alejandro. Yeah, in terms of EPSA, since 2018, we began seeing a reduction, significant reduction of dividends in terms of cash. For you to have an idea, in 2017, what we received by dividends from EPSA was 24 billion Colombian pesos. And this is 5-6% of the total dividends that we received in 2018. That was last year. What we received in terms of cash was 2.6 billion Colombian pesos. And for this year, and within the projections that we have, in terms of adjusted EBITDA, we have a projection of 880 billion Colombian pesos. Sorry, 880 million Colombian pesos. That's 5.5% of what we've received in terms of dividends. So since 2018, we begin seeing the reduction in terms of EPSA reductions. And in 2018, if we follow this line in terms of allocating EPSA's portfolio at an EPSA, at a Celsia level in order to reach those taxation efficiencies in terms of leveraging and at the same time the portfolio simplification process. But you can see that since 2018, the impact of the received dividends from EPSA were very small in comparison with the total stocks that we received in terms of dividends. So I got confused at the end with your answer. This means that the flow will be even reduced more in 2020? Or what's the solution for this to be a bit better? Well, there's two things here in the answer. What Alejandro is telling you is that at Grupo Argos level, the direct dividend coming from EPSA has been dropping and is probably practically inexistent. This is the first element. But the second element that I believe is more your question, if $1 is generated in EPSA operationally, and depending on the scheme, direct or indirect scheme, which of them both would be more efficient in terms of taxes? That's more of a question, right? So here, the previous structure, there's a taxation inefficiency, because in the electric business, the debt and the expenses was not included in the revenue, because EBSA is the important vehicle that generated the revenue. But the owner of taxation payments was done by EBSA. When we do this, there's two effects. First, the revenue is produced in the same place where the expense and costs are based. So that, from a taxation point of view, is much more efficient. And number two, the dividend flow. The dividend flow, we construct a we build a structure in order for the distributions to be located in terms of protecting the companies. So CLC would be should be a CHC. Yes, CLC should be a CHC. That's basically it. Thank you. Second question. Next question. Diego Roballo from Bancolombia. If Diego is listening, would be open to any questions that you might have further on. This is the end of the questions, right, Samuel? Yeah, we don't have any more questions in this moment. So with this, we want to thank you for your participation. And any questions or doubts that you might have, we'll be open to answer. Both Natalia's team, as anyone that is attending this video conference, thank you for being with us in this 2018 review. 2019, we're seeing very optimistic. The results clearly show the strategy that the organization has: a coherent, efficient organization, disciplined in its execution, with growing results. And we see very positive dynamics at this beginning of the year. We want to thank you all once again, and we want to wish you all a nice day. So this would be the end of today's conference, and thank you for your participation. Now you could disconnect from the phone call.